A little better. Anybody else happy for the sunshine? Come on. Jesus. The sun comes out, I always know he loves me. How many know Rhea doesn't need a microphone? I love that. Man, that girl can sing. She can also preach. Yeah. All right, so I don't know if you've noticed that there is quite a bit of insanity in our world, a lot of unhealthy insanity in our world, and you might have noticed. So I just thought I would read to you 15 ways to keep a healthy level of insanity, all right? So, number one, at lunchtime, sit in your parked car with sunglasses on and point a hairdryer at passing cars. See if they slow down. Number two, page yourself over the intercom. Don't disguise your voice. Number three, every time someone asks you to do something, ask if they want fries with that. Number four, put your garbage can on your desk and label it in. Number five, put decaf in the coffee maker for 3 weeks. Once everyone has gotten over their caffeine addiction, switch to espresso. Number six, finish all your sentences with "in accordance with the prophecy." Number seven, don't use any punctuation. Number eight, as often as possible, skip rather than walk. Number nine, specify that your drive-through order is to go. Number 10, sing along at the opera. That would be kind of funny. Number 11, go to a poetry recital and ask why the poems don't rhyme. Number 12, put mosquito netting around your work area and play tropical sounds all day. Number 13, 5 days in advance, tell your friends you can't attend their party because you're not in the mood. Number 14, when the money comes out of the ATM, scream, "I won, I won." And number 15, when leaving the zoo, start running towards the parking lot yelling, "Run for your lives, they're loose." All right. I was in School of Ministry about 16 years ago, and we had a speaker come. His name is Steve Backlin. Some of you know Steve Backlin. Amazing guy, just a hero in the faith to me, and even a spiritual father on some level. And this was the first time I heard him. And so he's speaking in the School of Ministry, and he was telling a story about how the Lord, you know, he'd called him as a pastor. And so he was called to pastor this church, this little small church in Round Mountain, Nevada, way out in the desert. He kind of felt like Moses on the backside of the desert. And but he was in, he'd talk about this process that the Lord had him in teaching him how to walk in joy. And so he'd tell the story about, you know, this time when they had a conference, and so they'd all this work to put this conference on, and three people showed up, and two of them were him and his wife. And so he was talking about how the Lord was showing him how he had this Eeyore anointing, and God wanted him to move from an Eeyore anointing to a Tigger anointing. And so I'm listening to him preach, and I'm thinking, at this point in time in my life, I was, you know, there were quite a few things that didn't go the way that I had planned for my life. And so I'm listening to him, I'm thinking, man, I can really identify with that. Like, you know, not on the outside, people probably wouldn't have noticed, but on the inside, I was aware of this, you know, I'm like, I can identify with that Eeyore anointing. And something inside me said, I want the Tigger anointing. So Steve Backlin definitely has the Tigger anointing. And so that started a process in me. I can't say that I have the Tigger anointing, but I'm a lot closer to it now than I was 16 years ago. And I'm a lot more in touch with the joy of the Lord. And I want to talk to you this morning about returning to joy. The title of this message is Return to Joy. So there was a psychology professor professor of psychology of the University of Maryland, and he's passed away now, but he did a 10-year study on laughter. So he spent 10 years studying laughter, and out of that, he wrote a book called Laughter, A Scientific Investigation. And a few of the things that he discovered is that children or babies, on average, laugh about 300 times a day. Whereas as adults, we laugh about 20 times a day. So laughing peaks at age 5. So let me ask you this. Why do you think does laughter peak at age 5? Because they go to school, okay? Yeah, you know, life, we get hit with life, don't we? It's like, you know, I have this theory that, you know, we come from, you know, God knew you before you were born. Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, it says that he knew you, right? So somehow we exist in God before we come. So Carolee and I, we just have this you know, theory that, you know, babies come from the blue, from straight from God, and they come into this world, and we're created in the image of God. And God is the most joyful being in the universe. Can you say amen? God is the most joyful being in the universe. He is the source of all joy. There is nobody that has more joy than God. And babies, when they come, they're imprinted with this. They come from this glory realm with God. And so they come and they're just filled with laughter. Children definitely know how to laugh. You get a few kids together and either they're going to be laughing or they're going to be fighting, right? But they'll do both very easily. Fighting comes from our fallen nature, which we have to learn how not to do. But laughter comes so easily to children. And so Jesus said this. He said this in Matthew 18, verse 3. He said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." We have to be converted and become like children, Jesus said, to enter the kingdom of heaven. There was another place where Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, because of such is the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. So the kingdom of heaven belongs to those, to the children and those who are childlike. You and I, Jesus invites us to become like children so that we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. I was reminded this morning of a time when I was in a YWAM school, School of Evangelism, and this is way back in the 80s. I hadn't married my wife yet. We'd met and we were corresponding, but I was in another school, and so there was a girl there in this school who'd gone through some real trauma in her life, real challenges, and just some deep pain and wounding in her family. And so she had some things that she was working through. The Lord was bringing healing in her life. And so I remember we had this couple that came to minister, to teach and minister in the school. And so they're in the school, and they actually had this anointing from the Holy Spirit to just flow with God and to be used powerfully by the Lord. And so they're ministering, they're teaching, and they're ministering. And so they would pray over different people, and people would fall down under the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, this girl turns to me. We're sitting beside each other, and she turns to me, and she you know, every time this happened, she rolled her eyes like, you know, not like she wasn't believing, like that was, you know, God. And I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, you know what? I think this is God. I don't think they're. She whispers to me. She goes, "If they call me up there, I'm not letting them push me down. You know, so I'm not gonna let them push me over." And I thought, okay, that's fine, you know. So sure enough, the speaker sees her, calls her out, calls her up front. She looks at me. She gives me this look like, you know, oh, here it comes. And I could tell she's like, she's going to brace herself. She's not going to let them push her over, right? So she walks up. I mean, she's walking up the aisle to him. He's right here. And she's still walking. He puts his hand out like this to pray for her. And she's still 6 feet from him. Nobody's touching her. And the power of God hit her, and she just went straight down. And then there she was on the floor, and she was gone. She was out. She was gone. Now, we're watching. I watched this happen. I'm like, and she wasn't hurt. I mean, she just went, I don't know how God does that, but he did. I mean, she went straight down and she was gone. And then over the next hour, like, he's ministering, this guy's ministering, but the Lord is just doing what he wants to do with this young woman. And so she is crying. She's weeping. She's crying. And you know, it was kind of disturbing. It was like, you know, this was happening and she's just weeping and crying. And then it was quiet for a while. That went on for quite some time. And then it was quiet for a while. And then there was a little giggle. And then there was another little giggle. And then another. And then another. And she had this beautiful laugh. It was so contagious. It was so hilarious. You know how laughter is contagious, right? So we're listening to her. And then these belly laughs just from her gut, just laughing out loud. And I mean, she's out. She's gone. She's not with us. And so she's just laughing and laughing. Well, after a while, this speaker says, well, I think we can wake her up now. And so he just kind of gently called her name and held her hand. And then she woke up and she sat up. And so, you know, all of us are dying to know, like, what did God just do with this young lady? I knew some of her history, and I knew because she had told me. And so she said that she was a little girl sitting on Jesus' lap, and they were telling each other secrets. And his secrets were really, really funny. And so she was just laughing. She didn't remember any of the time when she was weeping. I mean, the Lord loves to turn our weeping into dancing. He loves to turn our mourning into dancing and to replace our weeping with joy. That's God's heart and His plan for each one of us. I want to suggest to you that our natural created state is joy. This is the way God created us. He created us to live in joy. I'm not talking about our fallen state. I'm talking about our created, the way He designed us. The way He created us. He created us to live in joy. How many know God lives in joy? He exists. I don't know how to say that. He's the eternal, self-existent one. But He is in joy. And so He created us to live. That is our natural created state, is to live in joy. Paul said this in Romans 14, verse 17. He said, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, we have this saying that joy is a third of the kingdom. You know, Paul right here, he says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I don't think, you know, Paul's trying to say that's all there is to the kingdom. But I think what he is trying to say is, if we were to summarize all that's in the kingdom, all that's somehow, perhaps it could fall within these three categories: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So joy is a third of the kingdom. And it's also one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't know, Paul lists the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He lists those fruits. I don't know if he listed them, if he intended that to be like prioritized in a certain order, but it kind of, in some ways, seems that way. Love, he lists love first, and we know because of what Jesus has told us and because of 1 Corinthians 13, we know that love, it all comes down to love, right? Jesus said he boiled all the commandments down to two things: love God and love your neighbor, right? And so it all boils down to love. And so Paul lists love as the first one of the fruits of the Spirit. But the second one, I think this is interesting, joy. He lists joy as the second fruit of the Spirit. Maybe there's something in that for us. Maybe there's something for us to understand of the importance of joy. And so God's heart, His desire for you and I, the way He created us is He created us to live in joy. But how many know things happen? Life happens, right? Stuff happens. I could have put a different four-letter word there, but I didn't. S-T-U-F, right? Stuff. Stuff happens. But you know, things that was supposed to be funny. You're supposed to laugh at that. Okay. Things happen in life. We're confronted with with pain. We're confronted with things that that hurt us or discourage us, that set us back. Things happen in life that the enemy intends to steal our joy. But God's heart and His purpose, His intent for us is that we live in the joy that He created for us. So that's why James, the brother of Jesus, he said, James 1, verse 2, he said, "Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials and tribulations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect work." James said, the brother of Jesus said, "Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials and tribulations." We encounter things in this life, and the enemy's intent is to steal our joy. God's intent is for us to be anchored in Him, in His kingdom, so that nothing can steal away our joy. Amen? Joy, how many know joy is an inside job? Joy should not be connected to our circumstances. God's heart and His intent for you and I is that we live in a place of joy that nothing, the enemy cannot steal from us. Now think about this. The apostles, you know, when they're brought before the Sanhedrin for preaching the gospel, I think the first time was Peter and John healed a lame man. The Lord healed them, but through them, healed a lame man, and he comes into the temple leaping and praising God. And then another time, that time and another time, they're before the Sanhedrin, and they beat the apostles. And what did the apostles do? They left rejoicing, didn't they? They left rejoicing, this means yes, that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name. You know, if the worst that the enemy can do, if the worst that he throws at you causes you to rejoice that much more, I mean, how can he stop us, right? How can the enemy stop anyone who the more he throws at them, the more they rejoice, the more that they are filled with joy, they're rejoicing. And so God's heart for you and I is that we stay in a place where our circumstances cannot threaten. Maybe it sets us back a minute. Maybe it takes us a minute to figure out how to come back into His presence, how to come back into that place of joy. But that's where we're designed to be, to return to joy. Amen? David had this moment in time in his life. Maybe this was one of the lowest times in his life. Perhaps, I mean, he'd had several pretty low times. But you remember the story how David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he tries to cover it up. He murders her husband. And so he's trying to cover his sin. The baby dies. And out of that place, Nathan the prophet comes to him and confronts him. And out of his repentance, he writes this psalm, Psalm 51. And it's just this heart cry. It's this cry from his heart that God would forgive him. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Don't cast me away from your presence. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me." And then in verse 12, he says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Restore to me the joy of your salvation. For all of us, there is a joy with our salvation. There's a joy that accompanies our salvation. The knowledge, not just here, but here, that we are eternally saved. We have this eternal life that's been given to us. And with that, there's this package of joy. Because why? Because we're connected to the author of joy. We're connected to the source of joy. Amen? So, God wants us to live in a place where, yes, things happen in life. Yes, things hit us sideways sometimes. And we go through difficulty. We go through challenge. We go through disappointment. We experience pain and loss and suffering and trauma. And yes, we need to weep with those who weep. You know, I think that's what was happening to that young lady, is the Holy Spirit was weeping with her in that moment. And He was bringing healing to her. We need to weep with those who weep, but that's unto something. That the Lord has healing for each one of us. The Lord has answers. The Lord has solutions, and He loves to turn our mourning into dancing. So Jesus said this in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30 in the NIV. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So when we're in that place where we're feeling weary and burdened, heavy laden, that's when we just need to come to Jesus. Amen? So, how many know we are in a battle? There's a battle happening in the world around us, and it's always been there. There's a battle between good and evil. There's a battle between light and darkness. The enemy is fighting against the Spirit of God. I don't know if he could fight against the Spirit, but the angels of God. And fighting against us, we represent the Lord's kingdom. There is a battle. And now, perhaps more than ever, we see the manifestation of that in the world around us. There are things happening in the world around us, and we can see the outflow of this battle that's happening in the heavenlies, but it's also spilling out into the natural. And how many know, you know, Steve Backlund say this, you don't need joy at the end of the battle, you need it in the middle. You know, at the end of the battle, when the battle's over, you know, that's an easy time. That's an easy time for us to rejoice. That's a natural time for us to rejoice. But we need the joy in the middle of the battle. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what Nehemiah 8, verse 10, it says out of the New Living. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you want to be strong as a Christian, you need joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That is our strength. So if we want to be strong, if we want to be strong as Christians, we need joy. And the good news is God has joy. He has joy for each one of us. So I said this, you don't need joy at the end of the battle. That's just going to happen. You need joy in the middle. That's where we need it. Our world is in great distress. There are things happening in the world around us. And I think perhaps more than at any time, at least in my lifetime, that I can remember, I see more distress and more stress, people stressed out, walking in stress and anxiety. I didn't do an exhaustive study on this, but I believe the statistics are there that there's more depression, more addictions, more suicide, more things that would point to the fact that people are dealing with more stress and anxiety and depression than perhaps at any other time in their lives. And how many know the Lord did not design us to walk at a level where we are just stressed out all day long, all the time. We're not designed to live that way. We're not designed to carry that level of cortisol in our bodies, and our adrenal glands are exhausted. We're not designed to live that way. We're designed to live in joy. And so there are things that God has for us that we can do to move us from a place of stress to a place of rest and peace with Him. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But as I was praying for this message, as I was preparing, I was just asking the Lord, "Lord, what is on your heart?" And I felt like He said, I had the word prepare in my spirit. And I said, "Lord, what? Prepare for what?" And I felt like I heard Him say, "Prepare for turbulence." So I don't know, you know, how many of you are listening to the prophets, different prophets out there. I listen to the prophet. I like to listen to different prophets because I don't want to, you know, my personal belief is that the mainstream media in many ways functions like the Old Testament false prophets, where there's an agenda behind it that is controlled by the enemy. And so I want to be very careful who I'm listening to, and making sure that I'm getting what is lining up with truth. But not only that, I want to make sure that I'm listening to things from, I'm getting God's perspective on the world that's happening around me. And so I just had this sense, you know, I heard different prophets talking about, hey, we're in a time of shaking. And perhaps about, I think, 7 years ago, I preached a series of messages, and I talked about, like, I felt like the Lord was showing me that I could see a storm coming. And I felt like the Lord was saying, hey, you know what? What do you do when there's a storm coming? Well, I'm in the Midwest or different places where we live where they have big thunderstorms. You close the windows of your house. You do a few things to prepare for the storm, and you just weather the storm, and the storm passes by. How many know the storm is going to pass by? We're in a storm. I personally think that it's probably going to get worse before it gets better, but it's going to get better. We're going to get through this. We're going to get past this. God is in control. He's not wringing his hands. He's on the throne. He's still in control, and he has a plan, and his people, his church, is waking up. His church is waking up, and we're going to see a change. We're going to see a transformation in the world around us. There is a great revival that is going to sweep this globe. There's going to be a revival. I believe it with all my heart that we will see a revival unlike anything we've ever seen in our lifetimes. And millions of people are going to come to salvation. They're going to come to Jesus. But we're in this period of time where it's a bit turbulent. You know, I'm a pilot. Not like Chet's dad, who is a retired airline pilot. Chet's also a pilot. But you know, when you, as a pilot, when you enter into turbulence, when you're flying and you're entering into turbulence, one of the things you do is that you slow the aircraft up to the maneuvering speed just so that it won't experience any damage. It's safer. And then, of course, you know what, when you're flying in an airline, the captain turns on the fasten your seatbelt sign. And so there's some things that we do when we enter into a storm or we're entering into turbulence. I want to suggest to you, take some time to listen to your captain, listen to Jesus, see if there's something that he would have you do to prepare for a season of turbulence that we will get through. We're going to get past that. The Lord's with us. But you know, each one of us, you have a relationship with Jesus. And it's important for us to tune into him to see what he's saying. I don't have a word from God for you to tell you what to do. I can tell you that even for my own family, you know, we just have done a few things that we felt like were wise for us to do. How many know that there's issues with our supply chain? There's issues, there are some vulnerabilities in our world. It maybe would be wise to set a little bit of food and water aside. It might be wise to have a little bit of cash put aside. I don't know. Here's what I don't want you to hear me say. Don't do anything out of fear. There is a lot of fear out there, and the enemy motivates, the enemy uses fear to cause people to do different things. You know, I think the whole prepper movement is based in fear. You and I, we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings. He will take care of his children. So all we have to do is listen to him and partner with him. Amen? And there are things that are wise, might be wise for us to do. That's all I have. I don't have anything in my heart beyond that. But the most important thing that I had that I just felt in my spirit that I needed to give you was this principle, return to joy. How do we get through challenges? How do we get through difficulties in life? We have to move away from being stressed out and living in a place of stress and anxiety to a place of joy where the circumstances around us do not threaten us. Amen? That's where, can you say amen? Amen. This is where the Lord has for us to live. So how can we live? How can we return to joy? How can we live in a place of joy? Number one, I'm going to give you three things. Number one is to be in God's presence, to be in his presence. Jesus said, I read it earlier, Matthew 11, I think it was, come to me, come to Jesus. We can come into his presence. He is the source of joy. He has joy for you and I, but we have to take the time and the intentionality to come into his presence. How? So before I answer that question, let me just mention this verse in Psalm 16:11. It says, David said this, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." If you're wondering where the joy can be found, it's in his presence, and his presence is accessible to all of us. We are bought with a price. We are God's sons and daughters. Hebrews 4 says we can come boldly into his throne room to receive help and grace in time of need. So you and I, we can come right into his throne room and receive what we need. How do we do that? Psalm 100, verse 2 and verse 4 says this. Come, verse 2 says, come before his presence with singing. We come before his presence with singing. Verse 4 says this. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. So how do we enter into his presence? You go through the gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I don't know how many of you have experienced this, but you know, when I start thanking Jesus, when I just begin thanking and thanking him and thanking him for this and that and everything that I can think of, pretty soon my thanksgiving starts to turn to praise. And I just begin praising him. I just begin praising him. And so then I can feel his presence. I'm in his presence. And that's where I like to be when I want to hear, when I need direction, when I need to hear from him. I want to make sure that I'm in his presence so that I know that I'm hearing his voice and not another voice. Amen? So the first way to return to joy is to come into the presence of God. And I just don't want us to think that that's somewhere that's not accessible. It's accessible to every one of us. We could come into the presence of God just through singing and worship and praise and thanksgiving. Number two, I want to suggest to you to limit your intake of the things that steal your joy. Because there's a lot of things. There are a lot of things out there that are under the control of the enemy that his intent is to be used to steal our joy. So we have to be wise. You know, Jesus said, be wise as serpents, innocent as doves, but wise as serpents. We've got to be as wise as the enemy. We have to understand what he's up to so that we can counter that, right? So I want to suggest you limit your intake. Be aware of the effect, the things that you're listening to, the things you're reading, the effect that it's having on you. You know, and I think of like news, music, screen, TV, social media. We are on our screens so much. We are on our screens a lot. It's a, you know, I have a smartphone. It's an amazing tool. I just want us to be intentional. I just want to suggest that we need to be intentional so that we're not just, you know, kind of doing things willy-nilly, but we're living our lives with intentionality. I have a lot that I could say on that, but I'm running out of time. I want to just mention this. I did an experiment one time. I'm a product of the 80s. So I think the 80s generation, you know, that decade was the best ever. And my wife doesn't agree. She's a product of the 80s too. But I'm a product of the 80s, and so I like 80s rock music. I'll confess it. I like 80s rock music. I like, you know, I like me some 80s rock ballads. And I once did an experiment. I thought, you know what? What kind of effect is this having on my soul? So I was listening to some rock music, some 80s rock music, you know, Living on a Prayer, Bon Jovi. I mean, it was great. A little bit of spirituality there thrown in with it. But I noticed it was about 15, 20 minutes. It was like, oh, wow, my spirit's starting to get weaker. I could feel like, you know, something was affecting me. I'm not, listen, my intent is not to be religious. You know, there's freedom with Jesus. I want you to be conscious of the effect things have on you. So for myself, you know, I'm like, I'm conscious. Like, I'm listening to some good rock music. I'm conscious of the effect that it's having on me. About 15, 20 minutes, man, that's my limit. I'm back into worship. I'm just going, I put the worship music on, and then I'm in his presence, and I'm good to go. I want to suggest to you that we need to be intentional about what we're taking in, what we're allowing in. We also need to be very intentional about silencing fear, because fear is the enemy's tool. The enemy loves to use fear to move us and to shift us. And so we have to be conscious of how what's affecting us. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, right? Fear is a spirit, and it's not from God. The spirit that God's given us, the Holy Spirit, is a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So when we're in a place of anxiety, when we're in a place of stress, when we're in a place where we're feeling stressed out, that's the time to go, wait a minute, time out. Let me get in God's presence, because when I get in His presence, my perspective changes. Because now I start seeing the world and my own situation, my circumstances, through God's eyes, and that changes everything. So I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to start quoting scripture to myself. I'm going to say, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. I'm His son. You could say I'm His daughter, whatever the case may be. I'm His child, and He loves me. I'm not an orphan. He takes care of His children. Amen? So I want to say this. You are powerful. Say, I am powerful. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Go ahead. We are powerful. You are powerful to change the world around you and to affect the inside of you. You have control over the inside of you. You are the steward of your soul. There's a proverb. It says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the issues of life. You and I, we are the stewards of our heart and of our soul. And the amazing thing is God has given us such incredible resources. The worship that is erupting across the globe right now is incredible. It's amazing. You know, I remember growing up in the 70s, I got saved at the age of 4. I've been following Jesus for over 50 years, and we didn't have the music that we have now. We had amazing music. We had awesome Christian music. You know, some of you remember Second Chapter of Acts, and oh man, I was amazing. It was amazing music that we had. Phil Keaggy and Larry Norman, Rain Stonehill, those kinds of people. But we didn't have the worship, the global worship movement that we have right now. There's a movement across the globe of worship, and it's unto something. It's an indicator of this revival that is coming. We didn't have that. The resources that you and I have right now to come into God's presence is amazing. It's like almost, it seems like every other week there's a new worship album out, and they're all so powerful. And the amazing thing about it is that as we sing those, we're singing truth. We're singing theology. There's been a few songs here and there that I'll listen to. I'm like, you know what? I don't think that really lines up with Scripture, and I won't listen to it. But most of it is just awesome. It's straight from the Word of God. So we have resources, the worship movement, prayer, Scripture, fellowship with other believers, getting together and strengthening one another. And then lastly, I'm going to do this very quickly. The last one is all of us have to know how to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. You know, David, another point in time, one of his lowest points in time, he and his men were returning to their city, Ziklag, and it had been burned to the ground, and their wives and children had been taken away. And so here they are in their home city, and everyone's gone. And so David is distressed because his wives are gone, his children are gone. But let me just read this verse from 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. It says, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Every single one of us needs to know how to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. You know, when we're in a time like we are right now, that our relationship with Jesus, God's intent for that is for it to be a lifeline to us, that we are connected to Him in a way. We're a part of a kingdom that can't be shaken. Let me know that. Amen? We're a part of a kingdom that can't be shaken. And so when we are connected to Jesus, we receive strength. God is not worried. He is not on his throne. He's not wringing his hands, right? So the Lord wants us to be able to strengthen ourselves in him, to be able to connect with him in the moment of need, in the time of need, we can connect with him. And, you know, I look at how did David do that? And this is, I'll just close with this. You know, we see in Psalms, he wrote all, perhaps almost half, I think, the Psalms he wrote. And what did he do? He would remind himself of what God had done. He would remind himself of what God had done. He would call out to the Lord. He would call out to him and ask for help. And then he would remind himself, even talk to his soul. He said, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him." And then he would begin to worship. And so all of us need to have those tools at our disposal. Where we can come into his presence, we can return to joy, where we can be strengthened by him to be able to face the world around us. Amen? Amen. All right, worship team, if you would come on up. Son, I just want to pray over us. Why don't you put your hand on your heart? Yeah. Just wherever you are right now, whatever you're facing, whatever situation that you're dealing with, you can just say this in your heart or just quietly under your breath or whatever. But Lord, we ask you, Jesus, to restore to us the joy of our salvation. Yeah, restore to us. Lord, teach us how to return to joy. Teach us how to live in a place that you've designed us to live. Strengthened by you, filled with your joy. Your joy is our strength, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you that we are your sons and daughters. We are your children. We're your beloved. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.